hardened. So that's every night. So just do the maths yourself. Then it said that at the end of Ramadan, Allah also forgives an additional number of sinners, equivalent to that total sum of those that he'd already pardoned during the month. So obviously you've got every, you know, on 30 nights, each of those 30 nights, 70 million people are being pardoned. And then Allah at the end of the month will be pardoning that same amount again. So this is huge. Welcome back. This is A to Z and I being this radio, me sister Zainab, and I'm talking particularly about Allah's huge, massive forgiveness during the holy month of Ramadan. And so obviously I've just quoted the one tradition where every night 70 million people are pardoned from being punished in hell, and then the equivalent amount to that whole month again at the end of the month. And then there's other narrations, and like I was literally going to sit down and do the maths for this, but I thought, no, I'll let you do the maths. But it's quite amazing. So some narrations also say that Allah forgives whoever he pleases on the first night of Ramadan, whoever. Now, Allah could forgive one believer. Allah could also forgive every single believer. It's up to Allah. And then, after that first night of Ramadan, Allah will forgive twice the number he pardoned the previous night. And this goes on every single night. So basically, it's a doubling every single day. And then, on the very last night of Ramadan, he will forgive twice the number of people he pardoned during the whole month that had just passed. Huge numbers. So what does this tell us? So Allah is basically inviting us to just do what we can. And obviously just the very fact that we're fasting will be pleasing to Allah and will invite mercy from Allah. But obviously if we can, in a sense, get our act together and really polish away some of those bad traits we have, try to establish good habits, at least get rid of bad habits and maybe even establish some good habits. So by bad habits may be a little one that many of us have, snapping at people. You know, we get a little bit annoyed at someone, all of a sudden we've just said something a little bit harsh, and it can hurt people. So maybe that's something we could work on. Another thing, good thing, staying in touch even with distant relatives, just sending them a message, calling them every so often. Yeah, anything. Just look at how much mercy is waiting for us. So I pray that everyone is able to benefit from this, remind themselves of this ocean of mercy that is awaiting all of us in the holy month of Ramadan. And I also look forward to welcoming you to another episode of A to Z here on iBenglish Radio. And farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
In the limelight.
Benjamin Netanyahu's horrific resumption of the war on Gaza shows that no US-backed ceasefire deal is worth the paper it is printed on. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for the first part. Middle East Eye wrote, at 2:20 a.m. on Tuesday local time in the Gaza Strip, Washington inaugurated a new era in world politics. This was the moment Israel timed its attacks on dozens of targets in the enclave to coincide with Suhoor, the pre-dawn meal eaten by Muslims in preparation for a day of fasting. The timing was designed to inflict maximum civilian casualties as families across Gaza gathered to eat and pray during the holy month of Ramadan, even if they had little or no food to consume. The mass simultaneous attacks on 100 separate locations achieved their objective, making it one of the worst acts of wanton butchery by Israeli regime forces during the 15-month war on Gaza. More than 400 Palestinians were killed, including more than 170 children, according to Gaza health officials. The Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sought and got a green light from Washington before launching these attacks. U.S. President Donald Trump thus signaled a new era in global affairs by giving his consent for a wave of attacks that broke every aspect of the ceasefire deal signed in the presence of international guarantors. In one act, Trump turned the West that his nation claims to lead into the Wild West. From this moment on, no treaty, ceasefire, or international agreement that the U.S. regime signs is worth the paper it is printed on. A U.S. president who persuaded the people of Michigan that he was a man of peace and even the next potential recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize now uses the label Palestinian as a political slur against Jewish Democratic politicians. The president who vowed to stop all wars has launched or permitted airstrikes in Yemen, Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria simultaneously and is promising that all hell will break loose on other countries if they do not submit to his demands. A U.S. president who told the families of the hostages that he would do everything in his power to get them back alive has allowed the Zionist regime to effectively apply its Hannibal directive to the two dozen who, before Tuesday morning's attacks, were believed to be living. If the Zionist regime behaves like this, what incentive does it now give Hamas to keep the remaining hostages alive? For Netanyahu, the timing of these attacks was everything for quite different reasons. On Tuesday, he was due to appear in court on multiple corruption charges, which, as the case progresses, are tightening a noose around his political neck. The renewed war gave him an excuse to tell the court he could not attend. As Ahmad Tibi, a Knesset member and chairman of the Tall Party, writes in the Middle East Eye, it is no coincidence that Tuesday's bombardment comes just before a key budget vote, with ultra-Orthodox lawmakers threatening to topple the government if a law excluding their community from conscription is not passed, and former National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir issuing ultimatums. Bezalel Smotrich, Netanyahu's finance minister and leader of the extremist religious Zionist party, was right all along when he assured the world that Netanyahu would resume the war in Gaza. Recently, Smotrich said the hostage families had been hurt too much during a clash at the Knesset with Ayala Metzger, the daughter-in-law of a slain captive Yoran Metzger, saying, "We thought that we were serving in the Israeli army and not the army of God's vengeance. In these very moments, we are murdering hostages and there is a deal on the table." But for the religious Zionists, who now form the single most powerful group in Israel, the Army of God's Vengeance is exactly what the Gaza campaign is all about. They have done everything in their power to make a dispute over land into a religious war. For years, they have pushed police to attack worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque during Ramadan, directly prompting the Al-Aqsa Storm Operation, which the group dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Hamas is proscribed as a terrorist group in the UK and other countries in the West. Even the bitterest of foes can agree to stop fighting during religious festivals. But the Zionist regime recently did not just renege on a ceasefire deal it had signed. It specifically targeted worshippers gathered to perform a religious ritual. If the Zionist regime is a small settler colonial beachhead in a region entirely surrounded by Muslims, this attempt to turn the conflict into a religious one represents folly of suicidal proportions. The flame it has lit in all Muslim hearts will be hard to extinguish. It will be equally hard, if not impossible, for the survivors of this attack to consider a common future with Israeli Jews in either two states or one state. Despite its actions on October 7, 2023, the resistance movement Hamas remains, in view of most military analysts, a disciplined militia that sticks to the agreements it signs. It is the child killer regime of Israel that is acting like an undisciplined force of terror, violating an internationally recognized deal multiple times. Even before the Zionist regime's recent attack, the Israeli regime had killed more than 150 Palestinians in Gaza during the ceasefire. It failed to start talks regarding Stage 2 on the 16th day of Stage 1, as prescribed in the deal. It failed to fulfill its commitment to withdraw from the Philadelphia Corridor. It delayed the release of Palestinian prisoners for a week. The Zionist regime has behaved like a mafia, attempting to bully Gaza into a different deal altogether. It formulated a proposal, which it put in the mouth of Steve Witkoff, although there was no word of endorsement from Trump's envoy, and demanded that Hamas release 11 living hostages and half of the dead in return for a 50-day ceasefire. This would have been a completely different deal from the one negotiated by Qatari and Egyptian mediators over months.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. And you are listening to the program, The Last Savior, which is about the Imam of Time, Imam al-Zamana, Jalla Hatala Faraja, And in this program, we give you more and more information about the Imam of Time. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who dies and is ignorant about the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant. And the hadith that we discussed in the beginning of the program is also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, to explore more on the topic of Ma'naviyat, we have a special guest in the studio, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we have been talking about Dajjal. We said so far Dajjal could be a human, it could be an entity, could be a phenomenon, whatever it is. In many religions, whosoever stands in front of a prophet, whosoever stands against truth is referred to as Dajjal. Dajjal in itself means enmity, and as we believe, enmity towards Imam. We said that it's not a definite sign of reappearance. However, it's important to know about him because it has been referred to in some of the narrations, also in Shia school of thought. A very few narrations though, and we have been analyzing those narrations with Dr. Ali Alavi. We would like to get more illuminated.
Well, in our recent sessions, we have been talking about two key concepts among the issues and concepts of the time of advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. One is Dajjal, the other one is Sufyani, that we shall be talking about Sufyani, inshallah, in details in our upcoming sessions. But in recent series that we have been talking about Dajjal, we have been talking about the narrations of Dajjal, their authentications, and the introduction of this entity or this existence, that how is it like, and is it among the definite signs of arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? Is it going to be a person or is it a symbol? The viewpoints of different scholars in this regard, that some right. scholars believe that it's not going to be a person, rather than it is going to be a symbol. It is going to symbolize lying and symbolize enmity and falsehood.
Yeah.
We looked at the concept of Dajjal in different sources of hadith from Shia and Sunnah and other religions even. We have said that in among the Shia's hadith and narrations, there are very few hadith about Dajjal, but even we looked at some of those few hadiths that we have had.
Yeah.
But we want to say what is going to happen at the end of the day with Dajjal. Who is going to kill or annihilate Dajjal? We said it is what is quite definite is that Dajjal will be killed and will be annihilated at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is something that even the followers of other religions believe in.
And
they are waiting for their promised savior to come and actually kill or annihilate or finish this Dajjal.
Yeah.
Whatever is the symbol of badness, falsehood, wrongdoing, oppression, tyranny. So this strong power, which dominated the whole world and people by his power, is going to be finished at the time of Muhammad alayhi salam. So who exactly is going to kill this person or this entity or to cut or finish this movement? There are two series of narrations in this regard. Some say that Dajjal is going to be killed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam himself.
Yeah.
In a day of Jum'ah, the seventh day of the week. For example, we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that says, Nowruz is the day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our qa'im, qa'im of Ahlul Bayt, and the Dhilil Amr, victorious over the Dajjal, and will hang him in the synagogue of Kufa. You see, so is a man of synagogue rather than a masjid. Did you take the point? Synagogue, not a masjid.
Yeah.
Synagogue of Kufa. So Nowruz is a concept known by majority of people in Middle East. Nowruz is a day of renewal of a new year. It is the day of beginning of new year in Persian calendars,
right.
And some countries around our country and even in Middle East actually celebrate Nowruz.
Yes.
So Nowruz in our narrations is connected to the concept of advent of Imam Mahdi.
Right.
So what is
some of the,
strange in this Nowruz that all the narrations tells us that we are going to take some good news from Nowruz.
Yes. We'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
By your hand and please show me the way to be one of the pure and chosen companions, so that I can swear the oath of allegiance. I'll give
step of the way, my dream will come true. On the last breath, oh Master, I'll call out to you.
Oh light of Allah, you are my true guide. I'm waiting for you to die by your...
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. This is IRIB English Radio. And we have been talking about Dajjal. So you were saying that we have a narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that Imam is going to kill Dajjal and is going to hang him in the synagogue of Kufa, and it may be Nowruz, also a day of Friday. And we were talking about Nowruz as a source of revival, renewal, victory, and also in our, for example, in our cultures. For example, I am from Kashmir. We believe that the repentance of Adam was accepted on Nowruz. In fact, the all the prophets who were in trouble, and when they came out from trouble, it was basically on Nowruz. So yeah, it's celebrated across different cultures. And you're saying even this is going to happen on Nowruz as per a tradition from Imam Sadiq.
Yes, Nowruz by itself means new day.
Yeah.
This new day, we, Iran, in our calendar, that we have this Nowruz that we celebrated at the beginning of our solar calendar. We celebrate this day, at which is the beginning day of the new year. So it usually happens in the springs. And we have lots of narrations that shows the connection of this Nowruz with the arrival and advent of Imam alayhi salam. Again,
right.
So we have this good news of Nowruz and the annihilation of Dajjal in these days by Imam alayhi salam, by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So there are some other narrations at the time of the advent of Imam alayhi salam, Muhammadi alayhi salam. But this Dajjal is going to be killed by Isa, Jesus the Christ.
All right.
Since he was known as Antichrist. So again, there are some narrations. Then I want to make some, inshallah, good and beautiful conclusions that how we want to say that. So it could be, again, a concept rather than a person. It could be a movement. It could be a country. It could be a current. Or it could be a hegemonic power.
Yeah.
So yes, it is, again, there are some narrations that Isa alayhi salam is going to overcome Dajjal and kill Dajjal. There is hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that the Dajjal will emerge among my nation and will be among them for 40 days, 40 years, 40 nights, and 40 months until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him, while he is like Urwat ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, and he will defeat the Dajjal and destroys him. Again, in some of the narrations, we have plenty of Dajjal. I mean, Dajjal is not a person, but different people are known as Dajjal. So it's again interesting to know that at the end of the time, we have this narration again from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the end times, lying Antichrist will come, who will bring you a hadith and narrations that neither you nor your fathers have heard. So be careful that they do not deceive you or mislead you.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We're having a look at the hadith about Dajjal, and Dr. Ali Alavi is illuminating us with knowledge. Yes, Dr. Ali.
Yes, again, in another hadith, again, has been narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that says, before the Dajjal appears, more than 70 Dajjal will appear.
Oh.
So it's going to be a person, a people, persons,
a group,
70
a community.
People, a group of people. So I want to say that I can make a sort of conclusion that includes all of this hadith.
Yeah.
So why Isa alayhi salam has been mentioned in this hadith? because this is my own understanding and interpretation of the narrations. It is not having anything to do with the words of the scholars or words of the language of a hadith. I want to say that the hijab by itself could be a movement, not a person. And this hegemonic power that we are saying that it comes from the West today, it is, I mean, a sort of, let's say, an image of this Dajjal that we are talking about.
It also actually seems a kind of AI, I guess.
I mean, AI could be, I mean, among one of the tools that this Dajjal is using. When we are talking about hegemonic power, so one of the elements of this power is what you mentioned here, AI. So I want to say this fake power or falsehood that this hegemonic power is trying to inject in the whole world and to keep his domination over different parts of the world in order to keep all the worlds as slaves of its.
Yeah.
Right? Again, moreover, it will be annihilated and killed by whom? By Imam, at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. By whom? By Jesus the Christ. Because Jesus will come at the time of arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And they claim to be the followers of Jesus.
Yeah. Right?
Since they believe that they are, if you look at the words and the speeches of these people who are there, they always try to put themselves as the followers of Jesus, right? So what is the relationship between this Dajjal, Jesus, and so it will be annihilated and killed and finished at the time of Mahdi. That's true. It is quite related to Mahdawiyah and the concept of the last savior. So he tried to put the people as the slave. He made lots of oppressions and tyranny over the people in the course of history.
Yeah.
And this is the peak of this oppression that we see that West is doing over the people, either in East or West.
Yeah.
Right? No part of the world is free from the oppression that West is making.
Yes.
But Allah wants to do this revenge from their own prophet that they claim that they are its followers. When? At the time of the arrival of Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
So this is my own understanding that the Dajjal is not necessarily a person, because all these things cannot happen by a person who is going to use magic, because magic in front of the reality of the Allah's power is nothing.
Yes.
Even they themselves, I mean this power, this falsehood that or this wrongdoing that is propagating itself is nothing in front of Allah's power. Since they have dominated their power and they have dominated their will over different parts of the world and different countries and different people are automatically becoming their slaves.
Yes.
So Imam alayhi salam, since he's going to bring back justice and equity among the people, he sends Isa alayhi salam, or he uses the opportunity of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus, to remove this from the sin of the earth.
Right.
Since they claim him is their own prophet, and he will be the one that, inshallah, hopefully, will cut the roots of all these.
Be that a movement, be that an entity, or be that a human.
That's it. We are going to wrap all our discussions up here about Dajjal and say that, okay, this concept of Dajjal could be interpreted in this way. It could be the false power of falsehood that has enslaved people in the course of history, and the peak of this oppression seems at the end of the time, namely at the time that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is going to appear.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Alavi, for being with us and again illuminating us with more knowledge. And thank you, dear listeners, for being patient and for listening to the IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio presents The Month of Allah. Let's be with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High. Allah,
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Welcome to the program Month of Allah. We were talking about the connection of God in this month, and we said that it is critical for human beings to be connected to God. That a human that is not connected to God, a human that is not aware of Him, that does not follow Him, that does not obey Him, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, he is dead, he is not alive. And that our goal in this month is to try to maximize this life, maximize our connection to God, to feel alive and to make other people feel alive. When we look at some of the traditions, we see that in the traditions it mentions that if a person does not have this faith, this iman to God, that they will have distress, that their heart is always moving. Their heart is moving between the throat and between the chest, it says. إِنَّ الْقَلْبِ لَيَتَرَجَّحْ فِي مَا بَيْنَ الصَّدْرِ وَالْحَنْجَرَى, that the heart is moving between the throat and moving between the chest. But what happens? But then when it gets tied with iman, when it gets tied with the belief, in the firm belief in God, then it says, فَإِذَا أُغِدَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ قَرَّى, and then that heart will become stabilized. It is a beautiful tradition in Al-Kafi from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that our heart is moving between our throats and our chests, that we're always at distress, it moves constantly. But once we have faith, it becomes stable. And this is another effect of the connection to God. It brings us calmness, it brings us stability. No matter how many problems we face, because we have faith, because our heart is now stabled, we don't have anxiety anymore, we don't have distress anymore, because we have reached certainty. When we look at other traditions, it's very interesting that dhikr and remembrance of God is a food for our souls, is a food for our hearts. وَجَعَلَ غِذَاءَهُ dhikr. God has made the heart pure, God has made the heart purified, but has gathered, has made its food, dhikr and remembrance. So imagine a heart that does not receive remembrance of God. Imagine a person that is constantly thinking of everything else but besides God. A person that does not remember God, na'udhu billah, a person that does not pray. He is not connecting and talking to God. He is starving himself. He is starving his heart. Other narrations we read, مُدَاوَمَةُ الذِّكْرِ قُوتُ الْأَرْوَاهِ, constant, continuous remembrance of God is the food of the heart. Another attribute of connecting to God, another effect of connecting to God, is that you will be having much more hope than before. Because hope itself is life. In the tradition says, وَهُوَ يُحْيِي الْقَلْبِ, Raja and hope will make the life and the heart alive. But what kills the nafs? Khawf. Wal khawfu yumitu nafs. But fear, and fear of our actions, fear of the consequences of our actions, this causes our nafs and our desires to be killed. If you're tired of following your desires, think and fear God. Say, what would happen if I disobey Him? You'll kill your nafs. At the same time, if you want to enliven your heart, another way to enliven your heart is having hope of God. Once you have hope of meeting Him, hope of heaven, hope of meeting the 12th Imam, inshallah, and hope of His global government that will fill the world, we will be filled with hope inshallah. Because the hope that we have in this connection to God for us is life, is hayat. And this is how we have been programmed. This is how Allah has designed us. This is how God wants us to live. When we read the Holy Quran, it says to us, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ Allah has made you love iman. Allah loves, makes what made us to love faith. And once we reach faith, it makes us have more certainty. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ And has beautified religion in your hearts and has made you despise disbelief, وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ And defiance and disobedience. Therefore, this is something very natural for us to love faith, for us to be despised with disbelief, for us not to like sins and disobedience of God. This is something very natural for us. And when we come to the connection of God, we're going back to our original form of how we should have been. Therefore, everything becomes for us very natural, and that our hearts become full of stability and strength. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahli bayti tayyibin tahirin.
قال الإمام علي عليه السلام الدعاء مفتاح الرحمة ومصباح الظلمة.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Supplication is the key to mercy and a lantern in the darkness.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamati.
Islamati.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Drive careful on this road called life, because people will switch lanes on you without a signal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this is another episode of Youth Station. Thank you for joining us. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma.
And this is Nahid, having the honor of being with you.
Thank you very much. Well, it's all the same. How much do you respect other people's opinion? That's a very strange question.
Yeah, what a hard question. How much do I respect? I respect their opinions.
Yeah.
Totally, 100%. But how much I accept them, this is the point at which the story gets a little challenging.
Yeah, as for me, I hope none of them are listening to this, but I guess I would have the same perspective. Yeah. Like, I may listen, but I may not... act
I may hear,
accordingly.
But I may not listen.
Yeah. So, you know, there's this notion that recently many people keep reciting that, repeating that. I do not believe in it so much. Like, they say that all the ideas and opinions are
respected.
No, come on. They're not respected.
To the extent that they do not get insultive. Like, they do not insult.
Not just insult.
Police.
You see, this phase is very perplexing and very mixing. And, you know, there are paradoxical ideas getting together, trying to prove themselves to be the right idea. You know, everything is getting mixed.
Yeah.
Like, they try to break the binary oppositions of good and bad. Like, who says this is bad? I mean, come on. The bad is clear. The good is clear. Even God himself and... His holy book tells us that I have given human beings, the good and bad.
Yeah, I have shown you.
Yeah, the road is there. I have shown you. All you have to do is to pick which one you like the most. So why do you try to bring justifications to yourself in order just to prove that, okay, what I believe in is right? This is first thing first that we have to deal with, like the good and bad based on God's recommendations and based on God's instructions and based on Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam's narrations are clarified for us. So we already know what is good and what is bad, what is respected and what is not respected. And then also, there we have the idea that not all people's ideas are respected. We have already seen that. Like, there are many tyrants out there. Are their ideas accepted?
No.
No.
Nor accepted, neither respected.
Exactly. The same goes on in relationships. Like, there are some people who are very much domineering. They don't have to control everything in my life. I shouldn't actually let them control any detail of my life. So what is the discussion? What is the topic of our today's discussion? Is the fact that is the notion that other people, they have impact on me to the extent that they would change my road, my journey. So this is too much, too very much.
And it is hard. Like, how would I let other people influence? Of course, some people do. Like the nearest ones, of course, my parents have played a major role in the place I am standing right now.
The story of parents are different, though, to some extent. I would give them the right to.
Yeah, let's say close friends.
Yeah.
We get to be acting like our friends. We change little by little.
They change us.
Yeah, the closer we get, the more in touch we are. And the more we get affected by each other.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true. And it's, I guess, we cannot deny it.
No.
We have to remember this fact. I always mention this, and I guess this is very important. Each individual has got a personality. Each individual is a book that has to inspire others to read it.
Yeah.
Not a book that has to be written by others. I, myself, as a personality, as an individual, I have to write my own story with my own decisions. Yes, you as a friend might have an impact on me, but when you come to impose your ideas on me, then I guess that's the parting point.
Yeah, this is the place in which you have to draw the line.
Yeah, it's the departure point.
Yeah.
We have to keep that in mind. Now, this is the setting for a discussion. This is what we're going to talk about. We go for a break and then we come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
So, to what extent to let other people influence our lives? This is a tricky, hard question to ask. But if right now, like I was comparing my life with the people around me, with the ones that can affect me. As a teacher, I have many students around who are like teenagers or even younger or older, these ages. And I can see the way they are getting affected by their friends and the way they are influenced by literally everything. Mm-hmm. They change their mindset with opening one page, social media page.
With just one sentence written by a celebrity. Yeah,
like we get aligned with the situation in which, as a parent, I have raised a son, a daughter, I have taught her or him everything, and now he or she is just getting tricked, is falling in the trap of one social media page, I don't know, one website, one platform, one sentence, or a friend.
Even a book, a wrong book.
Exactly.
Like, not all the books and not all the knowledge out there are good for you to go.
Even for us, this can happen. The reason I'm just naming those, like, teenagers and younger people is that they are much more exposed to
prone to it. Exactly. Yeah. They're more inclined to get impact. When you get older, because it's even if we call it the matter of pride or the matter of dignity, even for the sake of that, you're not going to get impacted by the other people.
Yeah, trusting will be harder.
Yeah, trust issues and problems. Well, you know, psychologically speaking, there are many reasons for that, like for people getting impacted by other people. First of all, we have this concept of magnetic characters. There are some people who are so charismatic. If you get impacted by them, I guess you have every right to, because they have this magnetic character that would attract you to themselves. Like, for example, imagine in our religion, you go to, you have a course with a scholar who is so, so knowledgeable, so perfect, and at the same time charismatic.
Yeah.
So how could you just resist not getting touched by these people? It's good in this occasion because they're going to help you get better.
Yeah, the character of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the role models, the perfect people who are Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, are always the best role models to get impacted by.
Yeah.
But the problem is, in today's world, unfortunately, we go for celebrities. Now, these celebrities have got their own traumas. You know, they're like just like us. So how a person just like me is going to have impact on me?
Be my role model to the extent that she or he can have impacts on me.
And, you know, the ideology, it's very important. You know, what is ideology?
Exactly.
Ideology is set of beliefs and creeds that some people in power would like me to have. This is...
It's kind of their business.
It's kind of their business. But when it comes to the religious ideology, it's totally different. Like, it comes from a holy source. It comes from a divine, a spiritual source that is the source of my existence. So this one is reliable because I know there is no benefit. What God would take as benefit for me?
Yeah, here the purpose is all your improvement.
Exactly.
I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step. And that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Why I said parents are different, because parents are the only people, perhaps, you know, the normal parents that we're talking about, not the exceptions, because, you know, in today's world, we've seen many of the parents who are so much conceited about themselves.
Yeah, they not, do not care about
their
future,
their
children.
But as for the normal sketch of a parent who are so selfless, who are so giving, they would care for our future. So what they say is purely for me, myself. And they're talking from the perspective of a person who's experienced and who wishes all the best for me.
Yeah.
But then for other people, there are some complications, because sometimes as a co-worker in a place, maybe the other person is trying to victimize you. Maybe your friend is trying to be domineering. Maybe they're trying to create a doll out of you, a person, a puppet.
Yeah, and here you need to be aware. You need While we like to be with the other people, we like to socialize with them. Sometimes the person seems to have an attractive personality. Mm-hmm. But here we need to make the decision.
Yeah. And then I was just talking about that from that psychological factors we came into here. Sometimes people have this fear of rejection. When you are in a community, you very much would love... Again, in this occasion also, it depends on your personality. Some people do not care what the community is saying. Like, let's look back in history. For all the scientists, for all the writers, for all the poets, all the greatest scholars, they were not, generally speaking, I'm not getting into exceptions, because there were some exceptions who were loved by the communities they lived in. But for the majority of the examples, they were rejected by society. Not only they were rejected, but they also were accused of being, I don't know, dumb people, stupid people. They've been accused for being, I don't know, different, you know, different names.
Exactly.
Different things with different conspiracy theory sort of stories behind them. People always try to boycott them or try to ignore them.
Yeah, exactly.
But then what happened was that they, even one single individual mm-hmm. turned into great influencers.
Yeah.
They changed the whole course of history. They invented things. They brought about some great theories. And they changed maybe, you know, if you go for sociology, if you go for economy, if you go for science, we have great scholars in each one of them.
Yeah, but in the past, they were much rarer. Like
yeah.
one person we could have find during, I don't know, a decade, that person was the life-saving, life-changing one. But these days, I think one of the other problems is rooted in this fact that today we have many of the influencers, many of the celebrities around. And
yeah.
we are just like in danger of falling into being the victim of their stories.
And the problem is, unfortunately, they wear masks. And
yeah.
the masks are so beautiful and enchanting.
Yeah.
As I told you, they're so magnetic. But you have to remember, the thing that would distinguish the truth for you, that would illustrate on the fact whether they are right or wrong,
yeah.
is God and the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. God has made everything clarified
for you. Guidance is available.
Exactly. Whoever who comes to cheat you by slogans related to, I don't know, all these beautiful slogans that everybody is using nowadays, you have to bring it into the Islamic perspective and see that through those magnifiers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the tools that they have given you.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you filterize whatever that gets into your brain to recognize whether it is right or wrong. So I guess this would be the conclusion that do not let people live your life or write the course, the journey of your life for you. It's your life, you're the writer, you're the director, you're everything. Except for other characters who come into your story, who are actually the guest of honors.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them just be the guest of honors. That's it.
Yeah, they're not going to influence you. They're not going
exactly.
to change your way
Do
of life.
Do not make them the main leads of your story.
Yeah.
You are the main lead.
And the hero.
The hero, yeah. That's it. I hope you have just enjoyed it. Well, time flies so fast when we're here. And this is the ending point.
I'm sure about our listeners who are aware enough of the tricks and the traps around. So with the best wishes for you and the people who are around you and those who can influence you in the good way, let's end today's episode and wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a number of distinguished reciters of the Holy Quran in a gathering titled Communion with the Holy Quran. This meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on the first day of the blessed month of Ramadan, March 2nd, 2025. People are afflicted with envy, stinginess, suspicion, laziness, pursuing desires, selfishness, and the tendency to prioritize their own interests over those of the society as a whole. These matters exist among us too, although we are an Islamic society. We have made some progress in certain areas, but at the same time, we also suffer from these afflictions. The remedy lies in the Quran. If the Quran is recited correctly, and I will briefly mention something about that shortly, if the Quran is recited and it is listened to, these ailments will be alleviated. Not only does the Quran tells us the remedy, pay attention to this. It also shows us the way and creates motivation within us. This is important. There are many people who know the way, but they lack motivation. Intellectual and moral systems are unable to create motivation in them. The Quran generates that motivation. When the Quran is recited well, we listen well, and we contemplate it well, we can achieve remarkable results and cure our ailments. The Quran itself has highlighted this matter. It is He who sent to the illiterate people a messenger from among themselves to recite to them His communications. Surah 62, verse 2. Recitation. It says He recited the verses. What is the result that comes from reciting the verses? To purify them. Surah 62, verse 2. The recitation of these verses leads to purification. What does purification mean? It means a healing of the soul and heart. That is the meaning of purification. The human heart, spirit, and soul are healed of those ailments I mentioned earlier. This is what purification means. The Quran does this. The recitation of the Quran purifies. And to teach them the book, Surah 62, verse 2. He teaches the book to the people. What is the book? The book is the framework of individual and social life. It's what God Almighty has termed the truth in Quranic and religious expressions.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
the world with reporters.